We might not all really look the same, but baby, that's okay. It's White Boy Wednesday. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Good night and good morning and good afternoon and everything in between, white people, black people, and everyone in between. It's your boy, GQ Bound, a.k.a. Brian Wilder, a.k.a. your favorite Negro on the block. You are tuned in to the very first, and I'm so proud to say this, very first White Boy Wednesday radio show. Give yourselves a round of applause for that. I really do appreciate my listeners out there. It's been a long time, actually a very long time since I've been in the booth. Lots changed. Just give you an idea how old I am. I remember when this mixing board had about 6 buttons. Now we got about 400. So you see how we've moved up on things, moved up in the world. First off, I just wanted to give you guys a little background as to how this is going to work. I've gotten a lot of flack, I'd say, in about the past week and a half or so. People who shall remain nameless, but you know who you are. We're really trying to, how can I say this, bring your boy down, for lack of a better term. Bring your boy down when it comes to this whole white boy, hashtag White Boy Wednesday thing. And the hashtag I'll get to in a second. But just, like I said, bring your boy down. You know, trying to do something. You know, a young black man in America, you know, trying to make something of himself, you know, just so happens to, you know, feed off of the stereotypes and generalizations of white people. Reparations. Don't worry about that. We'll get to that in a second, too. But I'm just glad that through the help of everybody at CFC Radio, CFCRadio.com, and, you know, just the Cougar Media Network, I was able to get my spot, able to get my my 45 minutes of fame. I would be 15. Well, shoot, tonight is going to be 2 hours, so y'all better. I hope y'all have some caffeine ready because it's going to be an interesting night, interesting show. As far as the hashtag is concerned, hashtag White Boy Wednesday, or for all you non-computer users out there, number sign White Boy Wednesday. It kind of started, I'd say, where is it going on now? Like a month or two ago? Maybe less than that, maybe more. Where my boy, Shameless Plug, at Shameless Plug on Twitter, if y'all have a chance, follow Shameless Plug. That's Shameless Plug. Y'all should know how to spell at this point. Stay with me. All right. Shameless Plug, he kind of mentioned mentioned some arbitrary action that one of his white cohorts was involved in, and he just so conveniently placed the hashtag White Boy Wednesday at the end of it. I think that was the only tweet that I remember seeing that pertained to that. But he stopped after that. And after that point, I pretty much picked it up, took it, and ran with it. So I want to give a special shout out to Shameless Plug because he pretty much was the inspiration as far as that's concerned. And if y'all see Nate Mallard on the street, let him know that your boy GQ Bound said that no, he was not my complete inspiration for what white people do. Nate Mallard, do you really want to be the embodiment of the white community in this country? Because I can put you down. I can put you in my schedule right now if you want to go there. All white questions. You know what? I decree from this point on that all white questions from now until forever, I'm going to consult Nate Mallard. Nate Mallard, filmmaker, recent CUC graduate. You know who you are. I got you. Anyway. Like I was saying before, I just wanted to thank everybody who's listening. I want to thank everybody who's not listening. Shoot, I'll thank anybody who even thought about listening. Originally, this show was supposed to be from 8 to 10, and it was a perfect time, but now, it due to some unforeseen circumstances, we got bumped back to the late night hour. Hopefully, that will not discourage most of you from tuning in. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, DM me. DMing me or direct messaging me, for all you Twitter noobs out there, direct message me any kind of questions, comments, requests, especially. that you have for the show at gqbound.com. GQBOUND.com. Okay? All right. Well, we're going to get into the first song. This one is dedicated to, this is pretty much dedicated to anybody out there who loves Mos Def, which is most of y'all white folks. Okay, look. I got this crazy ass tweet on the Twitters not too long ago. it was a DM, a direct message from my boy Jared W. Smith. Hey, if you wanna follow like a funky ass white boy, follow Jared W. Smith out of Charleston. San Diego raised or San Diego born. He is the craziest mofo you will ever meet in your life. He was actually the webmaster for College of Charleston for a hot minute. But now he's gone on to bigger and better things. You know, he's moving up that social ladder, working with Rewrite Web. But follow him. He'll tell you more about that stuff then, because I couldn't tell you, because I really don't know what he does. No, I'm just playing. But, to go on to the next segment, it's this thing. There's this idea that a few friends of mine and I kicked around for about a week or so. And I figured, you know what? Screw it. It's my show. It's my 2 hours. This is what we're going to do. Every week, we're going to award I call it the hashtag White Boy of the Week. Now, the premise behind White Boy of the Week is simply an individual who stands out amongst his white cohorts, whether it be his white male cohorts, to be specific, and exhibits a certain tenacity, a certain fire, passion, if you will, that can't be ignored, it can't be denied, it must be showcased. And I guess the very first White Boy Wednesday, White Boy of the Week, goes to my man, Zach Mallard. Nate Mallard's little brother, for y'all who don't know. He's also on Twitter. Hey, he's at ZACMALLARD. That's his Twitter name. Okay, let me tell you what this white dude did today. I was on Twitter, right? Just screwing around like I usually do, overflowing your tweet streams and whatnot. And, you know, everybody looked like they were having a pretty, you know, crappy day, a pretty shitty day. And I get on there, I look at the stream, everybody's like, screw the rain, this weather sucks, I'll hate my life, I hate my mom, I hate my dad. You know, typical angsty white people banter. And I'm looking, and I come across this tweet from my man, from crazy ass Zach Mallard. I'm gonna read it to y'all, and I quote: "Enough with the fucking art / event / screen print / party / open bar mashups. God damn it, you are making a mockery of artists everywhere, you fucks." End quote. Now. It's crazy. Now, you know, it kind of caught me off guard because I'm like, people who are listening, people in, who aren't in Charleston who are listening, you know, all two of y'all, you have to understand, when it comes to Charleston, there's a lot that the so-called powers that be don't necessarily understand about a southern city. Yes, we're considered the blue dot and a red stripe. Great marketing slogan, by the way. It's really going to take you places. Yes, we're a blue dot and a red state, and you know, we're the most progressive city in the state, and we're by the water, and it's beautiful. How can you not love everything and be open to everything? People, please do not forget that you are in a southern city that was at the center of the Civil War. Now, I use the Civil War as a stepping stone because every time you walk these cobblestone streets, you see a ghost tour, or you see a carriage ride. You see a group of tourists, fanny packs and all, strolling up and down the market, you know, eyeballing all the sweetgrass basket makers, you know, for a reason. Because Charleston has established itself as a traditional city. People, like, that's the one thing that people don't understand. And I commend Zach for that. I commend Zach Mallett for that, because I don't necessarily know if that's the point he was trying to get across, but that's what I took from it. People don't understand that we are a city that is steeped in tradition. I don't care. You can come to Charleston. You can put yourself right smack dab in the middle of damn King and Calhoun for all I care, and open an awesome, you know, Southwest sushi fusion restaurant, and it's going to fail within the first 6 months, because there are certain things that Charlestonians like. We are not called Charlestonians for nothing. Tradition, people. That's all I'm saying. There's very little that you're going to be able to do to change this city, or try to turn it into the progressive capital of the country. If you want progressive, if you really want something so progressive, go to Asheville. Go to Asheville, North Carolina. That's by far the most progressive damn place I've ever been in a long ass time. Go there. But yes, again, white boy of the week, Zach Mallard. That was absolutely amazing. Of course, your spirited statement is probably going to fall on deaf ears, but that's why I made the choice to say, I made the decision to put it on the air for you guys, for y'all, so y'all can know what it's like. When people are just so frustrated trying to talk to y'all, trying to talk to you transplants, trying to talk to you northern transplants about how it's really done in the South. But moving on to my next little tidbit of information. I don't know if y'all saw this. I'm pretty sure y'all saw this. It was on Twitter. I don't know who sent me who posted the link earlier today. But apparently CNN News took it upon themselves to put social networking users into categories, almost like a hierarchy, based on. What was it? Based on household income of 50, like, that was like 50 grand or more, and people who make 75,000 or more. Basically, and the best part about the whole article, I want to say near the end, when it's, well, actually in the middle, when it's talking about MySpace versus Facebook, there was a point. I don't know if you caught. It was like a snide. Okay, here we go. I'm gonna read the quote to you. I just found it. This snide ass comment that someone made, and they didn't even capitalize their last name. The snide comment that someone made in regards to who joins, you know, which social networks. And here's the quote. She said, A young woman living in a small historical town in Massachusetts said to me, "I don't mean to be a racist or anything, but MySpace is like ghetto." Okay. This segues into another conversation that I've always wanted to have with white folks. My white friends, your white friends, your white grandmama, whoever. I've always wanted to sit down and have this conversation with people. What in your, in someone's right mind, just gives them the power to justify, to determine what is and isn't a ghetto? I mean, to be honest with you, most of my white friends have never seen a ghetto. Never seen a ghetto in their life. The only things they've ever heard was from that same dusty-ass big-timer CD that they had back in 1998. And you know the one I'm talking about, Bling Bling. Anyway, where do people get the idea of what is and what isn't a ghetto? For example, in Charleston, and I've been here for years. I've been here for almost a decade, and I've experienced this many, many, many times over. People, namely whites, my white friends and colleagues and so on and so forth, there were certain places, they were, especially when I moved downtown, they told me straight up, a black man in my city is going to tell me, okay, Brian, see, what you're going to do is you're not going to go past, okay, you're not going to go past Spring Street. And now keep in mind, for all y'all that aren't familiar with downtown Charleston, Spring Street is not a bad street. If you think Spring Street is bad, I'm going to need you to go over to the east side. And I'm not talking about just past 17, past the crosstown. No. For all my real Charlestonians who know, I'm going to need you to get in that pocket between, I'd say, about Carolina Street up to about Francis Street, and then back towards the water. That little pocket, you know what I'm talking about? That pocket, you get your ass whooped. And you want to talk about the ghetto? No. But they would tell me, like, Brian, just don't go past Spring Street, okay? Or it even got to a situation where, you know, I'm always a token black guy. It's the story of my life. Why do you think they gave me this radio show? You know? Token black guy. I was the ghetto backstage pass. And it's crazy because most of my white friends, they had a system where it was like, okay, if we take Brian, then that means that three of us are good if we go into the ghetto. And it was a 3-to-1 ratio. That was the maximum, you know, tipping point to make sure you stayed safe if you ventured in, you know, unsafe, quote-unquote unsafe areas. And that's what it was. And if you ever went over that limit, it would be a scramble, damn near a rat race to find another token black guy. Because, you know, there ain't but like six of us on every college campus. Yes, there's a token black guy union. I'm a card holding member. But they would be a rat race. You would scramble. People would practically scramble to find another token black guy to offset the next three white people who wanted to venture into the quote unquote hood. You know what I mean? It's just so funny. It's so funny that this article just practically put people into a socioeconomic hierarchy based on what social networking sites they use. And then it said that Facebook was the next up on the list. They referred to people on Facebook as mainly college students. Instead of almost 40% of them earn less than $50,000 a year. Because I mean, recent college grads who usually get entry level jobs after graduation, after stepping off the stage. And then the thing that bugged me out was Twitter was next. And at first I thought about it. I was like, well, I mean, there's a pretty you know, square average people on Twitter. But then it dawned on me that there was actually a tweet that someone I follow, his name is Jarf Omega, J A R F O OMEGA. Follow him. He's freaking hilarious. There was a tweet that he sent not too long ago, earlier this evening, and it was basically like, Twitter has clicks, fights, you know, all the things that are pretty much synonymous with high school. He's like, Twitter is practically pretty much high school. And then he said, I'm just going to sit in the back of the class with the class clowns and the smart people. And it dawned on me that most of Twitter, you know, for the most part, it's just a bunch. How can I put this? A lot of white collar professionals are on Twitter. Like there aren't nearly as many young folks on Twitter, like between the ages of, I'd say, 18 and 24, as you would think. And it bugs me out. And then lastly, of course, the most ancient, I dare you to say anything inflammatory, social networking site that was at the tippy top was LinkedIn. I don't know how many of y'all have a LinkedIn account. There was this weird thing that happened, especially this past semester when the graduates of 2009 went across the stage. A lot of them, for some reason, felt that the next logical step in establishing a career was to join LinkedIn. I don't know who told them that. I don't know what comp professor told them that or what marketing professor told them to do that stuff. But there was an influx of recent 2009 graduates who joined LinkedIn. And who knows? I mean, I'm going to let you know right now, it's not going to do anything for you at 21, 22, 23 years old. It's pretty much going to be everybody else that you graduated with following you and looking at your looking at the same lackluster resume that you put up.
So much on my mind that I can't reply. Less the holes in the night since you guys done signed. We spent a hell of papers from Bryce on this time. We smoke, we chase the skyline. First place ride out like an ancient maiden call. I can't take it, so I can feel the city breathing. It's just even against the flesh of the heathen. No time before I die like the last train. Breathing in deep city breath. Sitting on city steps, we smoke the new lows. No froze to make the city slept. But we crept across the jungle, communicating with one another and get a bird. The water pour from the hydrant to the gutters. The beast walks the beach, but the beach would be making. You on the wrong side of the track, looking visibly shaken. Taking the plunges, plunging the depth of pain. By the numbers, the fog on the fly pressure. Cats playing vibes, I have a children by a lesser baby mother. But fuck it, we played against each other like puppets. Swearing you got wool when the only tool you got is the wool over your eyes. Getting out of jail like a blessing in disguise. In the skies of God, what you see, the stars of Mars. And broken dreams flying away in the wings of the obscene. People put in the air, places where you can get murdered over a glare, but everything is fair.
What's everybody doing? What is it now? 11, 15, 11, 13, whatever, it's all good. I'm glad that the listeners out there are still with me. I still got a good 45 minutes to bless you with your boy GQ Bound, a.k.a. Brian Wilder, a.k.a. the whitest black dude you will know by. I will still whoop your ass on the mic right now. That last playlist had a few of my favorites. Good old Bone Thugs. For real, though, how many of y'all, I bet you didn't even have to tell me, because I know some of y'all Googled you some Bone Thugs back in the day to try to figure out what in the world Busy and Crazy Bone were saying in that song. You know you did it. You ain't got to tell me. I already know. I got white roommates. I know. Trust me. I can see it now. Bringing up the music video YouTube and pausing it. Pausing it every 2 seconds to see if they catch that word. Writing it down in a notebook. I'm not lying to you. Please talk to your people. Talk to your people. You got too much time on your hands. And then rounded it out with my boy Busta Rhymes. Busta Rhymes is by far my favorite rapper. My favorite hip hop rap artist. Just so you know now, just in case you were curious. But he did drop a few. I didn't expect him to drop that many N bombs in that song. God damn! Ooh, had me sweating in the booth. I'm like, they're about to kick me off. About to kick me off the air before I can even finish the first show. The first show. But that actually brings me to an interesting point. I had this conversation with my roommate, a few weeks ago. That he came up to me. I was eating. That was strike one. I was eating. And he came up to me while I was eating. And he was like, Brian, me and the guys, we had a question. We had a quick question. I was like, what? What's up? What's good? And he started sweating. You guys, I mean, not in his, like, you guys, like in, you know, Negroes. I mean, you know, but, the guy standing next to him was like, black people. Yes, black people. Black people. I was like, I noticed that the black people are able to use the N-word, and it's perfectly fine. But when we try to use it, and we're not even trying to be upset. You know, we're not trying to piss anybody off. We're not trying to make anybody mad. But every time we use it, I get my ass whooped. What's going on? All right, white folks, young and old, rich and poor, male, female, please bring your ears as close to the speaker as possible, because I'm going to break it down for you as far as when white folks can and cannot use the N-bomb, the N-word. I don't say it because I have, you know, that's my own little personal thing, but the only time, the absolute only time you can use the word in a black person's presence, as far as I'm concerned, is if I have to be in a car with you. We have to be in a car, first off. We have to be in a multi-ton moving vehicle, first off. Second, there has to be weed involved. There has to be. There has to be a buffer of some sort that keeps me from going ape shit. that keeps me from going ape shit and backhanding somebody. So there has to be some sort of a paraphernalia involved. Third, and this is the most crucial part of all of this, we have to be listening to one of three artists on the radio. One of three. And it cannot go past this spectrum. Number one, Dr. Dre. It has to be anything from Dre. It could be from Chronic, 2000, Chronic, any Dre song. And it has to be specifically has to be Dre. It can't be Snoop, Eminem, 50 Cent, you know, and then Dre doing the hook. No, it has to be a full-fledged Dr. Dre song. That's first song. My favorite is Explosive. If you put on Explosive, then we straight. You throw the N-word all day, every day. That's fine. Second artist, but again, does not go out of this spectrum. Second artist. Snoop Dogg, and it has to be, like I said before, it has to be Snoopy D-O Double Jizzle. It can't be, you know, Mac 10, you know, Corrupt, and then Snoop did the beat. Snoop produced the beat. No, you can't drop the N-bomb and be like, Brian, he produced it, his picture, his name is right there, producer. No, that's not going to fly. All right. And then the last artist, honestly, the last artist that you could play in the car with weed involved and drop the N-bomb without me choking you out is anybody from the South. Any Southern, any prominent Southern rappers. I don't know why, but it's just the N-word is just a staple. It is a staple in a lot of the lyrics. I guess that's where that whole, you know, that whole mentality came from, and that's it. Those are, and you heard it first. You heard it first from me. GQ Bound, a full fledged 100%, you know, black person. Trust me, my mom is black, my daddy's black. I promise you this. So take that back, let that marinate, but keep in mind, don't think for a second that this applies. This is like the all encompassing theory. This only works with your boy. So don't go coming up to random black folks with a bag of weed in one hand and your car keys and the Doggy Style album in another, you know, because people might look at you strange. People might start looking at you strange. CFC SGA, Student Government Association. But boy, the one and only Ross Kressel. People don't give Ross Kressel enough credit, man. You see Ross Kressel around campus, and he just sometimes just looks so sad, and other days he looks chipper as shit. And, you know, he's a good guy. And he's trying to do big things with SGA, trying to change some things on campus. Good luck, buddy, because you know how SGA goes. You know how they go. You talk about a whole bunch of white kids in a position of power, you do the math. You do the math, Ross Kressel, but you work it out. I got your back. Ross Kressel, and a special, even though they've been screwing me on Twitter all night, a special, special shout out to the entire PBR Drink Off 2009 crew. PBR Drink Off, bump Shameless Plug. Shameless Plug didn't even come. Scratch you, son, but you still cool. Two Name, who else was there? Annoyatron, Natters and her ass. They came as a pair. Becca, Ben Marvin, the infamous Ben Marvin. If you have not met this cat from Charlotte, Ben Marvin, I suggest you do it. I suggest you put this on your bucket list. Ben Marvin is the most whacked out, awesome. I don't even know how to describe this man. You gotta see Ben Marvin to believe Ben Marvin. Jared Smith was there. He was my driving partner. And just a host of people: Mook, Jagermeister, 100 Higgins, Dear Girl, Supermag came through. Supermag, you need to follow too. SUPAMAGG. She is just as bananas as she's awesome. And just a host of other people. PBR, okay. To give you the backstory to PBR Drink Off. PBR Drink Off was originally, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ben Marvin, because I'm pretty much doing this from memory. This is a social event that Ben Marvin started back in 2008 in conjunction with a local Charlotte bar called Jackalope Jack's. I'm not necessarily sure if they did it at Jack's last year. You have to refresh my memory. But basically, it was everybody who followed anybody in Charlotte, Charleston, even up to Jersey, the dirty Jersey, came together. We all met in Charlotte, say about the end of August. We all met in Charlotte at Jackalope Jack's. There was a special on PBR, and you basically represented your team. You either, there were three teams. There's a jersey, there was Team Jersey, it was Team Charlotte, and then there was Jared and I, Team Charleston. And basically, you drank. You drank and you did karaoke. Natters 1210, who's also from Charlotte, she runs karaoke that night from 10 until close. And you got drunk. It was a white boy Wednesday microcosm. It was the most amazing thing ever. It was a simple idea that was perfectly executed. You drank PBR. We drank so much PBR between the 20 some odd of us that there was a point, I'd say about 45 minutes into the night, where the old girl, white girl waitress, she stopped serving us PBRs by the can. She started bringing them bitches out by the bucket. That's how serious this was. I do not play, and apparently neither do most of you white folks, because this is, they put me in a situation that I wasn't necessarily, aware of. I wasn't ready for that. I was not ready for all that, but you know, bump that, I held my own, and we drank that night, and of course we drank the next night. And by the end of it, before it was all said and done, there was a point in the second night where they stopped serving PBR altogether. And the waitress quietly came up to the group of us and said, "We are officially out of PBR." And at first, it didn't register with most of us because some of us were still hungover from the night before. And she's like, "Yeah, you guys drank 300, I'd say about 350 PBRs in 2 days at this bar." I don't know if there is a Guinness World Record for this, because they pretty much give you a Guinness World Record for anything nowadays, days, but that needs to go in the history books.
I'm from the murder capital, will we murder for capital? So you need to change your attitude, funny asking what happened to you. Lord forgive him, he got them dark forces in him, but he also got a righteous cause for sending them a murder me. So I gotta murder them first, emergency. Doctors performing procedures, Jesus. I ain't trying to be facetious, but vengeance is mine, said the Lord. You said it better than all. Leave niggas on death's door, breathing on rest for raiders for killing my best four haters. A permanent high hater since I skated in the Maybach Benz. Sliding, annihilating, bumping brown sugar by D'Angelo in Los Angeles, like an evangelist. I can introduce you to your makeup when you're closer to nature. Ashes after they remade you bastards. Hope you've been reading your songs and chapters, paying your tithe, being good captains. I'm coming.
To let everyone know, all the listeners, people who are adamant about this show, people who are on the fence, and people who are just downright just opposed to it, heaven forbid. It's not that bad. See, I have people coming up to me all week and all last week, like, Brian, I don't know if you should do this bad, of course, people brought up the same bullshit-ass argument. Well, would you like it if we did, a Black Guy Wednesday or a Black Boy Tuesday? I'm like, first of all, don't call me boy. Yeah, don't do it, because that has a completely different connotation than what you would think. Trust me on that. Second, you know what? If there's somebody out there, anybody, I'm gonna bring the challenge. If there's anybody out there who feels that they can keep up, okay, who can keep up with a non-white, an ethnic, if you will, hashtag once a week, and it be tasteful, it be true, for the most part true, and it be in good fun, it not be overly offensive or absolutely, you know, off the charts, you know, off the wall, things that are absolutely not true, then by all means, you have the GQ bound seal of approval right here and right now. I said it on CFC campus. I said it the CFC radio studio. I said it on a Wednesday night, son, because I don't play. If you think that you have the ability to come through and do the opposite of what I'm doing now and it be on point, then go ahead. I am all about the marketplace of ideas. Free expression, my friends. Do what you feel is right. All right? Well, that's pretty much going to wrap it up for me. Again, I appreciate everybody's feedback. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since I've been in the booth, but I'm getting really comfortable. I'm getting really comfortable. As always, follow me on Twitter. If you got any questions, any requests throughout the week, any topics you want discussed on the show, we will discuss them. I will have a special guest next week. They don't know that they are a special guest, but they will find out before this night is over. All right. follow CFC Radio on Twitter, so you can always get updates. Follow my Facebook page too, my fan page. I don't know if it's a fan. No, it's a group page. Yeah, that's right. It was White Boy Wednesday with GQ Bound. It's on Facebook. If you're not following me on Facebook, I need you to get to it. I need you to do it to it. Again, thank you, everybody. I'm gonna leave you guys with some of my favorites. You know, kind of slow it down. You know. Tuck you in the bed, nice and right, nice and tight, like I said I was. This is off the D'Angelo's Voodoo album, one of my favorite songs off the album, Spanish Joint. I appreciate you guys sticking with me. This has been GQ Bound for White Boy Wednesday, hashtag White Boy Wednesday, and I'll see you here same time next week. Alright, y'all be cool.